Glory to God. Lord, where in the world do you want to start? I've got back five messages all going at once here. Well, okay. yes, sir, we'll start there. Go to Acts 9. You can tell by the messages that are coming forward. Can you tell he's graduating us? I think a while back we graduated from milk to meat. But now we're going from ground beef to T-bone and maybe some filet eventually here, you know. if he allows me to go today where I think we're going to go, which is talking about the love of God, the real love of God. As I was saying, Lord, do you do know this is the 10 o'clock service? What you're talking about is more for the diehards. You know, Sunday night. Wednesday night. You can get mad at me, I guess. If you get mad at me about that, pray more to you. Don't get mad at me anymore. Sorry. You know? This prophecy, he's not kidding about this prophecy that came forward a few months ago about drawing us into an inner circle. And the people don't like to even think that there is such a thing as Jesus having an inner circle, but he did. He most certainly did. He would teach to the multitudes, and then privately, the 12, he said to them, I teach in parables, but to you. You who? You who? Sorry. Suddenly I'm thinking of chocolate soda, you know, anyway, you. Oh. But to you it has been given to understand the mysteries of the kingdom of God. And then even within the 12. There was Peter, James, and John. And within Peter, James, and John, who did Jesus turn his mother over to? John, see? Yeah, you can walk closer with the Lord or farther away from the Lord. A good friend of mine one time, we were talking about going to heaven eventually and the rewards and all. And he said, one of my great fears is that when I get to heaven, as I walk in through the gates, Peter will hand me a set of binoculars. What are these for? He says, well, where you're going to be living, you're going to need these in order to see the Lamb. I'm not going to comment on that. I don't want binoculars. Amen. Amen. All right. I want to walk close with him. But he's talking about drawing us into this those who will go into an inner circle. And one of the primary requirements for that is that you got to lay down any personal agendas that you have. It's his agenda or you don't walk there. Okay, you just don't walk there. James, how Alan quoted from James today, and it starts off a bond slave. Many of the letters start off a bond slave of the Lord Jesus Christ. A bond slave. You look that word up, it's really doulos, and it means slave. But it can mean a forced slave or a voluntary slave. It can mean either one. Well, a bond slave from the old covenant is a guy who really had served his time and he could go free. He was free to go if he wanted to. But he could choose of his own free will to say, no, you've been good to me. You've been good to my family. I know I'm free to go, but if you'll let me, I'd rather stay and just be your slave. That's a true disciple. That's where he's taking us. So if these messages seem hard, you know, just understand we're not trying to grow a big church. We're trying to make disciples. And that's all we really care about. God is not just wanting to have a revival amongst the Christian world. He's wanting to save all sinners, everybody. And in order to do that, we're going to have to walk really close with him. To me, that's just a no-brainer. So if the messages get hard, don't leave. If you do leave, we'll love you and pray you back. And if you get angry with me, that's okay. It's okay. I've learned how to survive that. Amen? All right. And he wants to start here in Acts chapter 9 because I guess it's a little bit of a continuation from what Alan was teaching this morning, even though I'm not going to talk about Job. But if you're going to walk with the Lord, He's going to walk you through some scary stuff. Say the word scary. Your flesh is not always going to go, yippee, yay, look what He's called me to do. You know? Sometimes it's really scary. Sometimes it's life-threatening. See? And not only does the enemy come, the enemy... I just reread Dave's book again, by the way, and I wish I would have kept better records. I think it's the 8th time for me. And I hadn't read it in about 2 years. And it's just amazing to me, though. I know they haven't changed the book, but when I'd read it, and I'd read a certain paragraph, I'm going, well, when did they add this paragraph? And I know my eyes went across it, those are previous 7 times, but see, something in me was not grown up enough yet to receive it, see? And just one of the phrases in there, this isn't one of those, I received that one earlier, but he just plainly says, the day you make the decision, you're going to get serious about praying in other tongues. That's the day the devil draws a bullseye on your back. Just know, you've got his attention. Okay? Well, the whole purpose of all that, though, is not just to pray for the sake of praying. The whole purpose, well, there's multiple purposes. Part of it is to purge you, bring to light false motives, false personal agendas, strongholds, we call them, weaknesses of the flesh, things that we've... it's family time, right? I got rooms in me that I slammed the door on so long ago, even I don't go in there. I don't even want to... I don't go in there. The only way I know how to control it is close the door on it, see? You know? And He's not content to let me walk that way. He says, I'm opening the door. I said, I'm going to quit praying. So then you do, and then your hunger continues to grow. You'll keep coming to church. You'll hear those messages by Dave, and that love of God just draws you back in, and you say, oh, okay, I guess I'll pray. Maybe it's been a little while. Don't ask me how long. It's been a little while. Maybe I'll start praying again. Maybe he probably forgot. He forgot about that door. Oh, bet me. You won't be praying 5 minutes. There's that door again right there. He goes, I'm going to open it. No! Don't open that door. But see, he's not opening that door to accuse you, to beat you up, any of that. He's wanting to open that door to purge that ugly thing out of you forever. And whatever that handle was that the enemy was using to control you, he can't control you anymore. See, and one of them is fear. The Bible's real plain. I love that verse to Timothy. It says, God has not given us who? Us believers. God has not given us a spirit of fear. But what kind of spirit has He given us? Power, love, and a sound mind. Sound mind. The devil starts telling you you're losing your mind. You say, that is unscriptural. I'm a believer. I have power, love, and a sound mind. Flaky devil. But a spirit of fear is something that you have to overcome. Because everybody's born with natural... the strongest instinct, even in the natural man, is self-preservation. We used to have this cat named AC. And AC stood for attack cat. But not because he was mean. He was so playful. And when he was little, we had him from the time he was a little bitty cat. And he'd like to hide around, you'd come walking down the hallway, he would hide right around the corner of the door. He'd just wait till he saw your ankles, and he'd just jump out and attack your ankles, with his claws in. He wouldn't hurt you. So we called him attack cat. And he would just pounce on you, he wouldn't hurt you. But he was playful like that. Now, we had that cat for 18 years. That's an old cat. Eventually, he was not so playful. So we had to change what AC stood for. Later in life, it stood for Anthony Carpenter, the son we never had. That cat was so gentle, though. We'd have those Bible studies, and the house would fill up with people. Of course, they'd bring their kids, And he's a big cat. He weighed like 18, 19 pounds. He was a big cat. And I'd seen kids come and drag him by the tail. You're dragging us. And he'd just like, okay. They could pull his ears, and boink his eyes and everything. I never saw him attack one. I never saw him hurt one. You know, gentle, gentle cat. But also I did see. Now, if he really got afraid, you know, something happened where he was afraid, he would come out fighting, boy. See, self-preservation, even in the gentlest of them, it's the strongest instinct. So if you're going to really follow Jesus, I'm telling you, he's going to lead you into things that you think, this could be the end right here. Jesus, are you sure? Are you sure you're not talking to Dave? You do realize I'm not Dave. Do you realize who you're talking to? So progressively, and this really is connected with, I see why he's connecting this with Alan's service. Progressively, God leads you into situations where you're going to have opportunity to lose more and more fear. And as you continue to follow him and not run, follow him in the little things, and you find out, oh, I didn't die. Even in the finances. I mean, this is where that phrase come from in the early days, you know, in the early days of our ministry when money was staying away in great abundance. I mean, we didn't have any, I had doctrine, but I had no experience, okay? We didn't really know him very well. And the things he was asking us to do in the natural wisdom is certain death. You can't function that way and survive financially. You just can't do it. But that's what he was saying to do. It scared the bejabbers out of me. I'll just tell you right now. I couldn't hardly sleep at night. I'd lay there trying to go to sleep, and I'd see these visions, and they weren't godly. I'd see these visions of Sue and I sleeping under a bridge and wearing gunny sacks. And the devil was fear, because I didn't know my father very well, see. But he was leading us little at a time, and then he would prove himself faithful. I mean, I can't even tell you the number of times we did not know where supper was coming from. And somehow supper would show up. I could just go on for days telling, you know, we didn't know where the next tank of gas was coming from. And then something would happen in the next tank of gas. It was like, that's where I coined that phrase. Okay, going to bed tonight. Now this is where my soul was at the time. Okay, financially, we did not die today, but surely we will die tomorrow. I was one day at a time, buddy. I mean, one day at a time, learning to get past fear. But now let's fast forward. We've been at this since 96, 95 really, 95. It's been 1995 since I had a secular paycheck, okay? And so fast forward a bunch of years. And we still, there's opportunities, there's things happen financially. I don't know if I'll tell that or not. I'll tell this one instead, because there was one time. Now this kind of thing happens when they were real young, her and the other sisters, pretty young. We got our phone bill one month, and there was a couple of, I mean, the phone bill in those days was not like it is today. The phone bill in those days was like $20, $25, something like that, you know. We got our phone bill, it was like $200. It's all the money in the world. Well, I'm thinking they made a mistake. Can I get to checking? Nope. Sure enough, all of these calls were made to this certain number. And I get to check in the number. Well, what is that number? It was something that had been on TV, a campaign to save Larry the Lobster. anybody old enough to remember that? You got to save Larry the Lobster by calling this number. But what our kids didn't know is every time you called that number, it was like $2. Well, they're trying to save Larry the Lobster. And it run up $200, which to us at the time was all the money in the world, you know. What I'm just trying to say, stuff happens. And in fear, how in the world are we going to handle this, you know? Well, surely we did not die today. And no, we did not die today. Surely we will die tomorrow. But let's fast forward. Things still happen. We had something unexpected this week that's in $480 out of the blue, you know. Just not unexpected. What? $480, you know? And there's a part of me that somewhere in my rational mind, something goes, shouldn't you be worried? Now, not over, it'd take more than 480 these days, but, you know, shouldn't you be worried? And I'm going, yeah, I probably should. Let me try. Try. Come on, worry, come on. And I just can't. Even from my soul, I can't. man, I'm going, it's like my soul is like slapping me, my spirit around now going, look, after he has come through for us for about 10,000 times, we can trust him. Well, it's finances. That's one good thing to trust him. But let's look at a different level of trust. How many think we are on the cusp of revival? I believe that. I want to show you something here through a normal, everyday believer. Hello, how does Dave put it? Joe Public, Mary Wallpaper. We're going to look at an event not through an apostle, through someone who's just, as far as I can tell, all my research, just a normal person in the church. Very supernatural what happens. Okay, so you know the situation with Saul. How did I say go to Acts 9? Okay, good. We'll just pick it up. You know this story very well. This is when Saul got saved. We'll just start in verse 1. And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughters against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus, to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. Now that means he arrested them and brought them back for trial, and some of them were executed. Stephen was. Okay. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, Arise, go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. And the men which journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no man. And Saul arose from the earth, and when his eyes were opened, he saw no man. He's blind. But they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. And he was 3 days without sight, and neither did eat or drink. He was fasting. Okay. Now we know what happens later with Saul. Saul becomes the great apostle Paul. Amen. But now watch what happens next here. There's a certain disciple. Verse 10. There was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias. Now I did some research on that this fellow this week. This is not the Ananias and Sapphira later that are judged. I think that was earlier. But this guy doesn't appear anywhere else in Scripture. This is not an apostle. He did not become later a prophet or a teacher or a minister of any kind that I can find in the Bible. And I've even others that have studied, you know, more of a scholar than me, most agree this is Joe Public. This is a Joe Public, Mary Wallpaper situation. Now look what the Lord says to him, though. So, okay. To him said the Lord in a vision. Visions and dreams, again, let me remind you, that's one part of the language of the Holy Ghost. Visions and dreams. I had the Lord appear to me in a vision, and although I cannot tell you what he looked like, and that's strange, but it's the Lord. And that's when he appeared to me in New York that time and dealing with me about the next phase of ministry that he was bringing us into and some things I had to deal with in the flesh. Okay, so I know he didn't physically show up from heaven. But in a vision, he appeared and spoke with me. Well, here he's appearing to this man named Ananias, who is not a fivefold minister. He's not an apostle. He's just one of us. He's just a believer. Okay. But he knows his name. I like that. And the Lord says, Ananias. And he said, Behold, I am here, Lord. And the Lord said unto him, Arise. Go into the street which is called Straight. Inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus. Now, as soon as he said Saul of Tarsus, Ananias knew who he was talking about. Saul of Tarsus, you'll find out here in a minute, he knew who that was. He was famous. This is the guy that's breathing out slaughters against the church. This is the guy that's arresting Christians and bringing them back to Jerusalem for trial. He says, Inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus, for behold, he prayeth, and hath seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him that he might receive his sight. Now everyone say, thank God for the Holy Ghost. Now I want you to notice this. It's the Holy Ghost that's manifesting this vision of Jesus to Ananias. But that same Holy Ghost is ministering another vision to Saul, who is blind. And in that vision, Saul is there. He can't see anything in the natural, but he's seeing on the inside. And he sees a man coming in, and not only that, he knows the man's name is Ananias. You know? Isn't that something? See, God gave... This is not the message today, but there's two levels of leadership. Those that are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. In Romans 8, where it says that those that are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God, that should be a little less there. Because the context he is talking about there is how your new nature is to lead you now. You don't have that spirit of the world on the inside of you anymore. You have the spirit which is of Christ on the inside of you. You have the very nature of God. And when it comes to walking above sin, that spirit on the inside of you, by the conscience that come, the Ten Commandments are written, engraved on the heart of that new nature. See, if you're telling me I'm a Christian and I don't know adultery is wrong, you're either a liar or you're not saved. Or you have hardened your conscience to the point you just can't hear it anymore. Because when you get born again, it's not something you have to learn. When you get born again, the spirit that comes on the inside of you, the Ten Commandments are written in its heart. And I will write my laws in their heart and in their mind. When it comes to that kind of thing, you don't grow into righteousness like that. No, when it comes to Ephesians says that new man is created, I like to say from the get-go, in righteousness and true holiness. There is a holy of holies on the inside of you. Glory to God. Anyway, that's not the message today. But that's the first level of leadership. And that's what we most preachers call the inner witness. You don't necessarily hear a voice. You know, if I go out, if later today we're at a grocery store and we're walking by the grapes, and my hand reaches for the grape, you know, I'm going to steal some grapes or steal anything. I may not hear the words, thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not steal. Yet you don't necessarily hear a voice, but boy, does that new nature communicate with you. Right in your solar plexus, right at your core, it communicates. You can't steal that. Same thing about lions. You can trust that inner witness to be a sure guide when it comes to how to live right and wrong. But see, that new nature on the inside of you, Dave says it this way. He says, it does not have knowledge outside of itself. It's not the new nature that says, go to a house called straight, inquire of a certain guy's name and this and that. That comes by the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is another person from you. So there's the leadership of the Spirit, little s, when it comes to morality. But then there's the leadership by the big S. That's the Holy Ghost. And he can just talk to you directly. You just hear words. You can come by vision, by dream. A lot of the instructions that Sue and I got for the ministry in the early days came by visions and dreams that I would have. That she would have too. Okay? So there is a leadership by the new nature, little s. But there's also this leadership by the Holy Spirit. Well, obviously here, this is a leadership by the Holy Spirit. How's it happening? Manifesting a vision of the head of the church. Jesus has come. Now see, when Jesus comes, yes, sir. Okay. Now see, here we go. We're talking about this drawing you into an inner circle. That doesn't mean you're going to become an apostle. As far as I can tell, Ananias never became an apostle, prophet. I can't even tell he ever got into the fivefold. But see, the thing about Ananias, you're going to see it here in a minute. He had no agenda, even when it came to self-pres... Well, a little bit. He wavered a little bit when it came to self-preservation. See, the basic agenda all of us has, I must live. That's the basic. Okay? I must survive. That's self-preservation. That's like AC the cat, right? Self-preservation. Well, watch this. Okay, verse 12 again. Let me back it up. I want to keep this all flowing. Verse 11, the Lord said unto him, arise, go into the street, which is called Straight. Look at this information. You know, we had a man one time in Australia who had had contact with Dave years before but had lost all contact. And he says, I've got to talk to Dave. I've got to get to hold of Dave. Now, he's in Australia, right? He says, it's really, Father, help me. I've got to get a hold of Dave. And the phone number of the prayer center appeared to him in a vision. Dial this. Hello, this is the prayer center, Tulsa, Oklahoma. What? Yeah, the Holy Ghost can give you that kind of information. Arise, go into the street which is called Straight. Inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus. For behold, he prayeth. And he hath seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hands on him that he might receive his sight. Then Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard by many of this man how much evil he hath done to thy saints at Jerusalem. And here he hath authority from the chief priests to bind all that call on his name. Now, let's un-King James it a little. Lord, do you know who you're talking about? It's almost like, I'm not sure you're aware of the full situation. But it's almost like, Lord, are you sure you're talking about the same guy that I've heard of, Saul of Tarsus? Are you aware? This guy's dangerous. This guy, he's been hurting your believers, your Christians in Jerusalem. Now he's come here. He can arrest me. Now let's pause for a moment. If you're going to obey this, how sure do you have to be you're hearing the Lord? Deep down, there's something going, is that God? What if I'm missing it? What if that's not the Lord talking to me and I get over there and he finds out I'm a Christian? Now, see, that's really what he's talking about here. He's going, that he can arrest me, throw me in prison, I may be killed, Lord. You sure you're talking about the right guy there, and are you talking to the right guy here? You sure you're not talking to Dave? I'm not Dave. Anyway, look at verse 15. And the thing of it is, I love this because the Lord allowed that communication. And then he speaks back to him. You know, you can talk to the Lord. If you can have fellowship with the Lord, it's okay. And look, he says, but the Lord said unto him, no, go your way. He is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. Now, see, I didn't connect that up till right now, Alan. You know, isn't that something? Alan's message this morning is that if you're going to really follow the Lord, you may have to learn how to suffer a few things. Would y'all say Paul suffered a few things?
Yes.
Well, where we're going, better learn these messages. I get some feedback. I don't even like preaching as much as I've been preaching about putting my flesh on the cross. I'm going, Lord, I'm ready to preach about something else. And he says, but I'm not ready for you to preach something else. See, because we're going to have to learn how to do that. Deny yourself. Crucify yourself daily. Crucify the flesh daily. Or you're not going to walk with me. Well, anyway, the Lord's telling. So basically, Ananias said, this man has really caused your people to suffer. All right. Jesus says back to him, listen, you go ahead and do what I tell you, because he's going to suffer a lot for the gospel, too. It's all right, Ananias. Just go ahead and do it. Now, you can't tell me if Ananias is human like anyone else, you know, born again or not. Self-preservation is a tough one to kill. He had to be going, was that really the Lord? How confident am I? See, and this is why we recommend taking your trips to the barbershop now. Take your trips to the barbershop, just in case there's someone here that doesn't know what I mean by that. And it's so important. You've got to learn to start acting on what you're hearing from the Lord. Part of the reason why, you will learn through that process what is the Lord and what is not the Lord. So the standard parable that Dave teaches about the barbershop is this. Pastor Dave, I heard your message and I acted on it. I prayed, Pastor Dave. You did? Yes, and I heard God. That's wonderful, Pastor Dave says. What did God say to you? God told me to go to the barbershop at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, that there would be a man sitting in the chair that I am to witness to, and I was going to lead him to Christ. Oh, that's wonderful, says Pastor Dave. And what happened? I went to the barbershop at 2 o'clock, and the barbershop was closed. Now, why would God send me to the barbershop when he knows the barbershop is closed? And the classic answer is, he didn't send you. That wasn't him. But see, through that process, there's really only three voices. There's the voice of God, there's the voice of the enemy, and there's your own voice. Those that are so fearful that they never step out at all, they never learn to start distinguishing those three things. You've got to start stepping out. And if you missed it, hallelujah, you're learning. I'm learning how to use this thing. It's going to become a great tool. This is an iPad. It's going to become a great tool for the kingdom of God. Souls are going to be won because Gary Carpenter learned this thing. And it's going to become my slave. You understand me? But not if I'm so fearful I don't ever try it, and if I'm not willing to make mistakes, that's not going to happen. Well, it's the same thing with anything. You got to overcome your fear. Missing it is not the worst thing. Not trying is the worst thing. So afraid you won't take a baby step, you're never going to take a giant step if you don't take a baby step. Learn to step out, and if you miss it, glory to God, join the rest of us. Dave's taking his trips to the barbershop. I've taken mine. Thank God, though, you don't take as many as you go along. You do learn. You begin going, okay, I've heard that voice before. And you start learning what's really him and what's not him. Yes, sir. And also, as you continue to do the message, and I mean really do the message, 4 hours a week, you are kidding yourself. If that's your prayer life, come on. Come on. Anyway,